The Around the NFL Podcast would win a pickup game against Daniel Jeremiah.
Welcome back to another edition of the Around the NFL Podcast. My name is Dan Hansis, and I am joined by a room filled with heroes, Mark Sessler, Chris Wessling, and Greg Rosenthal. What's up, boys?
Hey, Dan.
Feel better about that bet when Daniel's Achilles was torn, not so
it's
much
kind
now.
Of a,
he's a basketball player.
Like a dated, deeply internal bit right there that DJ used to play pickup basketball until he tore his Achilles.
Last year.
Yeah,
maybe. I would take it. I mean, the four of us versus just one of him, yeah, we would definitely take him out.
He was a former college starter at quarterback for, Appalachian State?
Not at point guard.
Yeah, college football. I do remember someone at our meetup in San Francisco mentioned to me that we were shorter as a group than they anticipated. So that wouldn't help us on the basketball court, but we are a pretty short group. You throw Connor in the mix. Dan is average height, and he's the tallest one.
I'm almost 6 feet tall, so let's calm down with the average height thing.
The average American male right now under 40 is like 5'11 or 6 feet right now.
All right.
Americans are big people.
Greg, you're talking a lot in the front of the show because I think you want to avoid what, you know, we have to talk about it. We have to talk about what happened last week. And you know what? It's not – I don't want you – this is not coming from a place of anger. It's just more
– why would I avoid it? You haven't brought it up to me once in the many times I've seen you, actually, in between. I went to a house
– let's
party almost makes me think this is all a charade.
Let's talk about it. last week
– all for show.
Greg was on hiatus, and when we did a show on Wednesday, and, you know, he wasn't there. He is. And then it turns out he shows up on the other show. So you did the Rosenthal Jeselnik Vanity Project, but you did not do the Around the NFL Podcast.
I didn't. And
you did not do the Around the NFL Podcast.
ATNB.
Whoa. Wait, AT NFL? Wouldn't that make more sense?
The Around the NFL Podcast.
I like
ATNB.
So let's talk about it, Greg.
I like
Why
that.
Why did you do the obviously the metrics challenge show you do with your friend the comedian over our show basically and Mark I mean I felt like maybe I was making too big a deal of it all these months, but it all kind of was laid bare.
I mean, I just think I look up to Greg as a mentor and a supervisor, so it caught me off guard.
Well, as Dan knows, because I asked him what time we were at, I was trying to swing doing both. This is a fact. I not only requested that I get a babysitter to cover my kids while I tried to do both podcasts. Unfortunately, she couldn't do it. I got in a serious fight with my wife about it because I was pushing to do both podcasts. Literally yelling was involved.
Wow.
I probably
literal yelling.
Yeah. Well, we're a pretty calm household, but it was a pretty big problem.
You know,
in the end, I decided to back off doing both. I did just do the Rosenthal and Jeselnik Vanity Project for that day, and I don't feel bad about it at all. It was
no, you
last...
don't, do you?
Why would I? It was a season. It was the last time we were ever going to do it. It was the only time we could do it, and I don't think anyone but Dan would have ever cared, much even if I hadn't tried to
Is that true? Because I thought that I wasn't alone on this.
No, I like I said, my feelings, I had to, you know, weigh this for 7,200 plus hours and just kind of ponder.
We've
action.
Done millions of podcasts while people are on vacation. Like the fact that you would question my integrity, I would guess, and I'm not just saying this, I would guess, I think it's pretty safe bet, I missed the least amount of podcasts ever. I would never think to bring up like, oh, I can't believe you guys are gone for a podcast during the season or during the preseason or whatever. It would never
cross
my mind.
So now you are equating someone being off for the day or being on vacation.
Yeah, but I was on vacation.
With you choosing one podcast over the other.
I would do it in a heartbeat.
You
it was the last time I could ever do it.
Greg, you had a choice, and you chose to do the show.
No, I didn't
friend.
Because I couldn't get the babysitter. That time period was out regardless.
And your fight and the text to me and all that stuff, you know what it smells like? An alibi.
I don't need to make things up. But this entire episode, if nothing else, doing the Rosenthal and Jeselnik Vanity Project was good because I think it was really telling for me and learning something about this room.
Paradil magnifico.
How so?
And it was a reveal magnifico for Dan. Dan does not really see me like as a friend. Like you guys see me as a friend.
Well, wait, he had just invited you over to his house.
Let's hear him out. He might be right.
He doesn't see me as a friend, which is fine. He doesn't see me as like he sees me as someone that's on the podcast with him and his boss ultimately. But friends are supportive. Like if anything comes up in Dan's career that could possibly help him, I'm immediately supportive. I'm not really that concerned about my interests. Like I'm happy for them. Just like Wes and Mark have been happy for me the whole time. I don't think they really cared.
Oh yeah, they've been. You know,
I don't think they care. I don't think they care one way or the other, though. I mean, Mark's listened to it, so that's good. But I wouldn't care about that either. So.
But wait, you wouldn't care that I took time to listen to
it? No, I like that. Oh, I mean, okay. I wouldn't care that you don't listen to it. Oh. I would never expect that.
Understood.
It's gotten personal, obviously, and
I'm not
happy about it. My number one priority in the podcast realm of NFL.com is the Around the NFL podcast.
But as
hey, Tammy.
That's terrible.
And I am supportive of you.
No. I mean, so you don't have to pretend.
What is this? Where are we going with this now?
And there's another, you know, someone said, like, I would just, like, I like being ourselves on this podcast. You haven't even mentioned this to me once.
Because I thought it was important to share as a group and with the audience because, you know, it was a lot of betrayal. And I thought it was something that needed to be brought out at this moment specifically.
Hey, here's the newsflash. People listen to more than one podcast. There's more that, you know, there are people that came to our show. They all listen to a million different podcasts. They all loved the Rosenthal and Justin Lick Vanity Project. Every single one of them mentioned that. And they love Around the NFL. I listen to tons of podcasts.
I hope that podcast that you're on is thankful that we gave you your listenership.
It was a good – it helped for pop, for sure.
Does Anthony know that this show exists?
Well, it's kind of a bit that he doesn't know, but he certainly knows it exists.
Listen, this is an oral history for another time. The entire – RGVP experience that we can unpack for hours, but we have a whole show to get to.
Fair.
And Greg, I didn't like how you turned it into a thing, a referendum on our friendship.
Well I think
because
that's
I really
fair,
did.
Fair point.
That was hurtful.
The primary takeaway here, which is I heard all.
I got in a fight because I wanted to show up on my vacation for you to go to the thing, and it wasn't to avoid this. It was just because I wanted to do the podcast because I love doing this podcast. Like if you
not as much as you love doing the other one.
If you were ever on vacation and we, you know, even made any little thing that was saying, oh, we don't like that you're on vacation, you would be wildly angry. Damn.
All of
that true? We have to.
No.
Say,
all of this
of
is
not.
Relevant and it's. Great. Mark sees Greg as a mentor.
Well, yeah, that
that was my favorite part.
Well, I do. You know, when it comes to the topic of covering football, Andy's my supervisor, which I've made abundantly
clear. And your friend,
clear. Which
and is my more friend. Than I could say.
It's
I
like
guess.
The guiding hand in your life.
Yes, very much so.
You could be my friend, Dan. I consider you a friend. I found out that you don't see it the other way.
I don't support podcasts that are outside the realm of the Around the NFL podcast. It's nothing personal.
Wouldn't any podcast that we were on be all part of that?
Well, at least equally, you dislike every other podcast.
I just don't. This is the one where my focus is at. And like they say in The Godfather, it's business. It's not personal, Greg. So that's it. That's how I feel about it. That's how I feel.
Glad we cleared that up or not.
I'm glad I spent so much time.
Nothing cleared up whatsoever.
This is the Around the NFL podcast, and we're going to talk about football, believe it or not, at some point in the show. A lot to get to today. Today is Tuesday. The franchise tag is now available to be deployed by any team. I don't think anything's happened yet as of taping of the show, but it will go down as teams can take steps to make sure some of their better players cannot get away. So Wes wrote a phenomenal piece, and I enjoyed it.
Even read it.
On the franchise tag that you could check out at NFL.com. But we will talk about that today. Also, it's always fun to talk about quarterbacks. Quarterbacks are in some ways, gentlemen, the lifeblood of professional football. So why not talk about some quarterbacks that are on the bubble, if you will. Are they going to stay with their team? Are they going to go somewhere else? So we'll kind of go around the room. We'll throw out some names. Mark, you wrote a piece on that you can see at NFL.com, but we will get into that conversation and pull out some different guys. And, of course, as we always do, we're going to do a little news. Greg, this, I mean, that was just like a sad way to start the pod.
You're
bringing the friendship thing into it. That went.
Oh, so you're saying you
made it go
get,
nuclear.
How about this? Say one nice thing about Greg.
That's even worse.
Why?
It was exactly what Dan wanted. The whole point, Dan doesn't really care about any of this. It's just like you wanted some drama. You set it up all last week. That's what you were looking to set up to start the show.
My only sin is that I care about the podcast too much. And if that leads to you thinking that it was some type of affront, that I wasn't supportive of the other podcast that you
Well, it's not well, an affront. It's a fact. I
was respectful of the entire run of the RJVP.
I would have said any of this about that.
The
Larvio Magnifico was months ago. It was not.
Did I ever privately express any concerns? I never did anything. I never stood in the way of your show.
Well, that presumes that you could.
Well, I could have done some stuff. And you'll never know because I didn't, because I was respectful of my mentor, Greg Rosenthal.
Please.
Let's do some news, Sydney.
Oh, this guy's been cheating.
What was that?
Sounded like Greg's voice.
It was Greg's.
Well, what can we hear?
That was
it?
From our good friend at gogetmylunch.org. Yeah, you want to hear it again?
Yeah.
Oh, this guy's been cheating.
I don't know who I was talking about there.
What was the line? Like,
this guy's been cheating?
Oh, this guy's been cheating.
Yeah. Before you say something like, just wait till he starts using regulation footballs. So who knows what that was.
Yeah. Oh, one more thing before we get to the news. We did have a little gathering at Hansus Manor that I invited Greg to, and his daughter came. We had a nice time.
Yeah, that's what I mean. If it really mattered to you, you would bring it up.
We're not friends anymore.
For Sherrod.
One of the star attractions of the day were my new cornhole boards that came courtesy of the people at Victory Tailgate. Really nice. And Wes, I think you tweeted out a photo of it. So if you check out Wes's handle, it had the Around the NFL podcast logo on it. Even the cornhole bags had a podcast logo on it.
The bags you can see on my Instagram.
Yeah. So
they were stunning because,
they were
gorgeous.
Played
on what probably – Wes has some great boards, but, when I was in Ohio, I saw some ones that were kind of mid-level. These were just amazing.
They're very nice. So at Victory Tailgate, also at the website www.victorytailgate.com. Check that out. And thank you for the boards. Now the news. Here we go. We'll start with a little Broncos quarterback talk. Because really, guys, quarterback is the lifeblood position of the NFL when you think
about
it.
Heard that somewhere before.
In my opinion. But Brock Osweiler is a quarterback drafted in the second round 4 years ago by Denver, presumably as Peyton Manning's successor. And now here we are in present time, Manning just coming off a Super Bowl win, but a lot of people thinking that he's going to retire or that he should retire. There was a report that came out of 9 News in Denver, Mike Cleese. Did he used to write for the Denver Post?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Is that a recent defection?
About a year ago. Wes and I hung out with him one night. Great guy.
That would be in Indy.
This is a great topic for the Media Defection podcast.
That's coming up.
Yeah, in the offseason. But Mike Cleese reported that the Broncos are holding off on any discussions with Brock Osweiler, quote, out of respect to Peyton Manning, who has not decided or at least announced whether he intends to keep playing or retire after 18 seasons. Here's the first question, Greg, as we attempt to repair our fractured relationship now.
I'm over it.
We're going to lean
we're
on
good.
Football and work our way back. But really, is this a mistake for the Broncos to, at this point, still just kind of a week outside the Super Bowl, but to be playing this so respectfully towards Peyton Manning when they're, technically wasting days where they could be getting something done with Brock?
I don't think it matters right now. The timeline of it is all very strange, though. How long can they wait out of respect? I would say once you're getting to the combine, that's normally the time that agents and the team start diving in. This is not an easy contract. You're not going to give him the franchise tag. So I almost don't believe it. And if they're not talking now, they're going to be soon. They can only wait so long. They're going to have to get some sort of heads up from Manning in the next week and a half, I would say, would be the timeline.
The thing I find weird is, let's say Manning comes around and says, I'm coming back, I want to play. I don't see Denver signing up to keep him on any level. They don't want to go
through
this
whole
thing.
It will get ugly.
That's why this is interesting, because it's a classy move to give him time. But Archie Manning has come out and said Peyton knows he's not going to be back with the Broncos, that the Broncos don't want him back. So it's classy, but in the same way, the Broncos have presumably made it clear that they don't want him back.
I don't think they've made it clear necessarily. It's just logic that they don't want him back. And I think they're just hoping he retires so that they won't have to cut him or start negotiating with Brock with having not cut him before. And then he's just sitting on their cap for $17 million. I mean, they have until, you know, the just before free agency starts. But you can't wait that long, obviously, to get the deal done with Osweiler. Well, assuming they're going to.
Dan mentioned they drafted Osweiler to be Manning's successor, and I don't think that the 4 years that they've been there together could have worked out any better. This is what they drew up. Two Super Bowl appearances, multiple records broken. I think it's phenomenal. So this is a great succession plan. Now you stick Osweiler in there.
And you've had him learning in the quarterback room with Manning his entire career, which at the Super Bowl he said, you cannot explain how helpful that was. You have John Elway in the building. I mean, it's you can't really prepare. This is Aaron Rodgers part two. I'm not saying he's that kind of a player, but the idea of rushing these quarterbacks onto the field like 4 months after the draft, this is the reverse, and I think it would pay off big for them to re-sign him.
And it just feels like time that this is now where the torch gets passed. That gets complicated a little bit that you just won the Super Bowl, so it's like you think, oh, maybe status quo, but you need to move on, and we'll see. It's just it feels like it's just a political game. They got to make sure they make all the right moves to get it done, and I trust John Elway.
Well, would you be happy if Osweiler went to Cleveland, for instance, Mark, on a big money deal?
Well, I mean,
because teams are going to start showing interest maybe once they get to the combine. They're not allowed to, but they will.
I mean, Osweiler, and he's very polished and says all the right things, how much he wants to go back to Denver, and he loves that locker room. But yeah, I think probably someone would have to obviously take the risk of majorly overpaying for a quarterback that has a small sample size. But that said, like just spending a little bit of time with him like reporters did at the Super Bowl, it is the opposite of some of the haywire quarterbacks they've had. He's the opposite of Manziel in terms of how plugged in he is and how hard he works. And so from that angle, I think it would be interesting for another team to pull him away if you like him better than one of these other guys in the draft. You can't swing and miss on another draft guy.
In other news, Adam Gase was hired as the head coach of the Miami Dolphins last month. He's 37 years old. He's the youngest head coach in the league, and Dolphins owner, it is optimism season in Miami. Always is this time of year more than any other franchise. It always seems like Miami thinks they finally have it figured out, and Stephen Ross believes they have hit a home run, if you will, on Adam Gase. He had this to say: instead of getting a retread that really hasn't had a great track record as head coach, I was looking for somebody that really could be the next, if you will, Bill Belichick, Bill Parcells. He told the Palm Beach Post, you know, really a great head coach, and I think we got one. Is there any connection to Bill Belichick other than both men being 37 when they first got hired?
Well, he pretty much conflicted himself, considering Bill Belichick was a retread when he landed with the Patriots. You know, I don't know what Stephen Ross is looking for, but, yeah, I don't know. I think Stephen Ross is fascinated and borderline obsessed with the Bill Parcells coaching tree. He's had Parcells as a consultant for most of the time he's been in Miami. The general manager, Jeff Ireland, was a Parcells guy. Tony Sperano was a Parcells guy. Mike Tannenbaum, who's now running the old Parcells rule as the football czar in Miami, is a Parcells guy. So to me, it's no surprise that he made those comparisons. Seems like a little bit of a leap of faith to me.
Well, he's a guy that owns the Time Warner Center in New York City, and he's been where he's made his money in some respect, and he's been obsessed with those teams and players, and it's silly. What was the other thing he said in this that within 3 years, basically, if
after 3 years we haven't made the playoffs, we're looking for a new coach. That's just the way it is. The fans want it.
Come on,
I don't know.
Fans want it, please. You're gonna sell out a stadium in the NFL no matter what the fans want. You make your money from TV. I mean, you can't listen to the fans on what they want to
do. You're not going to sell it out in Miami, or you're not going to fill the seats at least.
They're going to make money because they're part of the NFL. The point is, you can't listen to the fans. You run your operation how you want to run it.
There's enough pressure on these guys, especially when you're the youngest head coach in the league. It takes probably two seasons to really start to feel comfortable. And I get the whole you want to be a playoff team right away, but it was sort of unnecessary to make that comment. I don't know who does it help?
It just leads to discussions like this one that puts undue pressure on Adam Gase. Maybe not really, but
it's kind of obvious too, right? I mean, Jim Caldwell wins 11 games and he starts off the next season poorly, and everyone just assumes he gets fired. That's year two after a hugely successful year one. So that's just the way the NFL works. It's weird to hear it, but yes, after 3 years you don't make a playoffs. Like, almost never is a guy back for a fourth. I don't think it happens.
Right. I mean, they've been that team that's
Gus
hovered
Bradley's
around
back
that,
for a fourth.
Yeah, they've hovered around that 8-8 mark before it fell off the wheels a little bit last year. But if they go 5, 6, 7 wins, then yeah, Gase will be gone.
Runs counter to how success works in the NFL. We pointed out in this podcast that midseason, all the best NFL teams were ones with stability at head coach and quarterback.
Doesn't feel like the Dolphins are floating too a little bit. They've been a buzzy pick to make the playoffs, especially last year. But I don't know. We've seen enough of Ryan Tannehill to kind of know who he is. I don't know if Lamar Miller will be back. That won't make him any stronger if he decides to go somewhere where they'll give him the ball. I mean, I don't know what's going on in Miami. I wouldn't feel too good if I was a member of that fan base.
You know what the big takeaway from this whole article was? When I was researching this, Mark Sessler is our Adam Gase beat writer.
That's the big takeaway.
He has written 5 articles about Adam Gase from January 1st through mid-February. None of the rest of Around the NFL has written a single Adam Gase article.
I thought Connor got in there once or twice, but I mean, I like the coaching.
You like the
stuff.
Coordinators?
Yeah. I think that's why I think Gase has a chance.
Well,
but anywhere
Gase
has gone,
like,
he's done a good job.
You know,
so.
The coordinator supreme for the last few years in terms of bell of the ball.
I mean, Ross always wants that splashy hire, and there wasn't a Jim Harbaugh sitting out there this year, but he got what a lot of people thought was the number one candidate. So how about just sit back and be patient for a bit? Let the thing breathe.
Well, this seems obvious, but the longer I've covered the NFL, I still think it's underrated. And it's the most important thing is your owner. And
the
it's
quarterback. It's the lifeblood.
I would say the owner. I mean, the quarterback maybe is number one. But ownership matters so much.
In any sport.
In any sport. But it matters even more than I thought. Like, I keep realizing it matters more and more and more. And he's a guy who bought the team 6 or 7 years ago. And I think he's still making a lot of the mistakes new owners make.
If I was your mentor, you would have known about the power of owners in sports.
That's true.
One of which ended my fandom.
By the way, I was aware of each and every one of Mark's Adam Gase posts because he would tap me on the shoulder after he finished each one. And it's like, here's some Gase in your face. And the simulated
true
mace.
True story. Direct quote, true story.
Moving on, speaking of beat writers, Chris Wessling, one day when David Johnson is enshrined in Canton and the bust is on display, it will be Chris Wessling, Around the NFL writer for 20 years consecutively, that will handle this speech. Here's something from Wes. The headline, Steve Keim, quote, scary how good David Johnson can be. And Wes, you believe that David Johnson was slighted by the Offensive Rookie of the Year voters. They gave Todd Gurley the award. But this is what Keim had to say about Johnson. Just going back and looking at some of the things David did on our tape just recently from a skill set standpoint, it's scary. 6'1", West, 226. He moves quick. He's fast. Is this guy the future of the running back position in the NFL?
I wasn't aware that I was the only David Johnson supporter.
Some Gase in your face.
In this room and in the NFL community.
Well, you're like the biggest guy. You're like the guy when someone needs like a David Johnson quote for a feature they're working on, call up the old mailman.
Chris, how many times have you spoken to David Johnson?
0. Yeah.
But Wes doesn't speak to anybody like in the actual NFL world.
Only for my long-form projects because they're former players who are free to speak their mind and don't give you cliches.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Talk about David Johnson.
I like this because it's basically echoing what Greg Rosenthal has said on this podcast.
Mentor alert.
Mentor.
That David Johnson is already one of the 6 or 7 best running backs in the NFL. And when you hear Steve Keim and Bruce Arians talk about him, it's pretty obvious they see him as a superstar who plays 3 downs and is already one of the best receiving backs in the NFL. Just a well-rounded guy.
Well, this is the guy that every year a new fantasy guy is kind of the bell of the ball. And usually I disagree with it. You know, I disagree
he
with
should
CJ
be the
Anderson.
Bell of the ball.
But David Johnson should be. He's got to get taken in the top, 7 or 8 picks, I would say, next year. And that doesn't bother me at all. He can do it all. He reminds me a lot of Le'Veon Bell. Not like they're the same player, but that they are a rare NFL running back that can do literally everything.
Tom Moore.
It's hard to find.
Tom Moore, the, what is he, octogenarian consultant for the Cardinals on offense, compared him to Franco Harris. Pretty high praise.
Are we, by the way, on the fantasy corner right now? Here I am with Chris Wessling and Greg Rosenthal, the founders. They built the brick by brick, even the HTML of RotoWorld. Also in the room is Mark Sessler. We're talking about David Johnson, top 10 pick in a standard 10-team drafts.
I have no qualms about that whatsoever. He has both the opportunity in one of the best offenses in the NFL, has the three-down skill set, and is just really talented.
Such a mentor to Wes. I brought him with me from RotoWorld.
That's
here.
True. And now let's head over to
after he built it, brick by brick.
Sizzler Corner, his hot take on fantasy.
Well, I think that the what I like to see when a rookie running back has the season he did is you got to go into next season and train. When Jeremy Hill was the guy we were talking about a year ago who became absolute the reverse. Because, and it's not because anyone was wrong about Jeremy Hill. He's dynamic, but maybe he didn't take his training seriously enough. So if you're David Johnson, you start reading all these headlines, you got to keep it up.
This is an excellent point. I would make 2 points as a rejoinder. David Johnson, among all of the effusive praise Kime had, was basically one of the things, just a great guy, a great young man. We all love him. Anyway, so you think he has the diligence to follow through, but also from a fantasy perspective, David Johnson's receiving ability makes him slump-proof, whereas Jeremy Hill needed the Bengals to be playing from ahead to score fantasy.
And you don't see Arizona taking a step back on offense.
I don't at all.
So I think
they'll be even better.
I thought I could sign off on that.
Sizzler Street Corner was more kind of a little far-flung, so something a little edgy, and then you brought some real analysis. I was not ready for that. It was very good, though.
Excellent.
You know, when you're surrounded in a room by multiple mentors, you just can't help but develop that kind of analysis over the course of 5-6 years.
It's true. Let's check in
real very slowly.
Let's check real quick over on the throne of ease, where D'Angelo Williams is tweeting the Steelers running back that he is. He sent out a tweet, which I found interesting. It was a notice of termination from the Panthers, which just shows you how cutthroat the NFL is. A Panthers fan. A Patriots fan in response tweeted back, you know, the Pats, we treat you with respect. Come to us. And D'Angelo's response to that was interesting. He said, from what I hear, I'm paraphrasing here because I lost the paper, but from what I hear, Tom Brady's the only person that likes Bill Belichick, so I'm good with that. Greg, your thoughts? You must be obviously very angry about that.
Yeah, I'm furious. How dare D'Angelo be smirched? You know what people like? They like rings on their fingers. They like money that they make in free agency. They like being productive.
That's fair, dog.
They like being productive. So I think there's a lot of people that probably wouldn't say it's the most fun place to work, but it's a good work environment.
Reggie Wayne famously said he quit his attempt at catching out with New England because he wasn't having fun there or wasn't what he was expecting. But, yeah, if you're a running back, though, I guess if you're a Patriots running back, unless you're Corey Dillon, you're probably never going to be the glory boy of that team. But, yeah, you're going to be in the playoffs. You get close to the Super Bowl, win Super Bowls. Wes, just disgusted by D'Angelo Williams,
that is preposterous. Any player, any professional sports player in any sport wants a coach who puts the team first and puts his players in position to win every game, every season. That's the foremost thing. Is your coach smarter than the other team's coaches and give us an advantage every week?
Can they help you? Can you help your career? Deion Lewis, LeGarrette Blount, Kevin Falk,
he made them money.
Shade Vereen. I could go through all their running backs of the last, 5 or 6 years, and he's helped, maximize their skills.
Also, you don't hear, one player after the next exiting New England. Even the ones that couldn't cut it because they weren't mentally intelligent enough to handle some of the wide receivers. No one comes out nailing Belichick. I mean, no one's coming out there bad mouthing that coach. Yeah.
He has
coaches.
A lot of detractors.
Sure, but
from Don Shula to Eric Mangini on down. There are a lot of people that have had bad things to say about him, but maybe not a
the
lot of players.
The paragon of NFL virtue, Eric Mangini.
Hey, he's my friend from the bar. Leave him alone. All right, so Belichick, who cares if anybody likes you? Doesn't matter. Tom Brady also tweeted out some photo, or it was on Facebook, of him skiing on the top of a mountain, Greg. I mean, that's a reconstructed knee. He's almost 40 years old. You don't want him on that mountain, right?
Someone asked me, seriously, does this bother? It's like,
You don't want him.
Life's too short for to be bothered by what Tom Brady's doing with his family in the offseason.
You don't want him.
He had a life.
Heed the call, Tom Brady.
It's better than the condition he was in at the boxing match last summer.
The Pacquiao Mayweather fight.
Yeah.
The shots of the pay-per-view of Tommy walking into the arena. He had fun at the Kentucky Derby earlier that day. I think that's what you're alluding to.
That is what I'm alluding to.
We are not ones to throw stones.
Right, exactly. Life is, you know, we could all die on the way home from work today in a car crash. I'm not going to get too worked up about Tom Brady's skiing.
Choke on a chicken bone.
Greg, if you were to die in a car accident, I would be very upset, and I would be at your funeral.
It'd be – that's good.
So I guess I'm a friend, as it turns out.
It would be a particular. You would think that would be a particularly bad time for me to die because we would have, died on an unfortunate day.
Very suspicious. Yeah. You'd have to get someone on that case.
Oh, you're insinuating that
I wasn't going.
No, I'm just saying.
Well,
it's
the evidence
suspicious.
Is out there on tape.
Yeah,
I wasn't going there. I just said you wouldn't want to.
Speaking
like,
of needing,
it's
an
like
alibi.
The kid who didn't tell his dad something nice. You know, they got in a fight right before.
That's always the last thing I told him was that I hated him.
And he's pounding on a window.
I feel like you guys have started to patch it up, though.
Well, no, I wasn't the one that ever questioned our relationship. That was Greg.
That's not.
So true. I'm more kind of like reacting off that and just trying to be like, all right, how serious was he? Was he just upset? Was it, something that will blow over? I'm still kind of lay of the land situation right now.
It's blown over. It's blown over.
I don't think so.
I was just letting you know. Put my name in your mouth. You got to be careful.
Watch out.
Honestly, I just
put my name in your mouth. That better be a drop on Nick Fortier's website.
By the way, we need Nick to update the sandwich bets. And I don't
need him to.
I don't want to call him out, but let's update that, Nikki.
Unpaid volunteer.
That's true, and he does great work. Go get mylunch.org. All right, finally in the news. The Giants tweeted out, made it official. We've known this for like a month. But our old friend, private investigator Frank Cignetti, PI, is officially the quarterback's coach of the New York Giants. This is a new staff member, Greg Rosenthal, of the staff. So we're happy. Not only is Frank Cignetti, and we've talked about Cignetti, he had to turn in his badge and his gun in St. Louis. Did not get a chance to clean up the streets in the way he wanted to, but now he's going to Gotham. And
good opportunity.
No shortage of crime and streets to clean.
That's a good point.
So that is an interesting landing spot for Frank. But to spin it back towards football, Greg, you really have an issue with this coaching staff in the Meadowlands.
Well, this whole thing about blaming Tom Coughlin for everything, keeping the whole staff basically, it bothers me that they brought back the GM. And then the thing that really stuck out in the press release today was that he has 20 assistant coaches, Ben McAdoo. 12 of those coaches, including all three coordinators, 60%. Were on the staff last year. Obviously, McAdoo was on the staff last year. It's basically Tom Coughlin's staff. That's fine. Here is the first quote of the press release. Quote, "This is a new staff," McAdoo said. "Nobody was retained. There were no holdovers. Everyone was hired. When I sat down with everyone on the staff, that was one thing I wanted to make clear. No one was retained. No one was a holdover. Everyone here was hired as part of a new staff." But it just happens to be Tom Coughlin's staff. Why are they
– So that's a lie?
Why is he – well, no. His point, I guess, is that this is my staff. This isn't Tom Coughlin's staff. I started this staff from scratch. It just so happens the staff is almost the exact same as last year's staff that was Tom Coughlin.
So I repeat, that's a lie.
Exactly.
Wait, would that qualify as false hustle?
No. It's come up recently that some people don't understand the phrase false hustle.
Apparently myself.
Yeah.
I just learned it. I love it.
Yeah,
it made sense immediately.
But it's like, I went out and hired these guys. Well, actually, like half of them were already here. So nice try looking like you worked hard.
Well, it's just like, why are you going out of – they really are trying to stress it's a whole new beginning, Giants fans. It's a PR tactic. It's a whole new beginning, Giants fans, because I think Giants fans like me have been underwhelmed by this whole idea.
You're a Giants fan?
No, but I'm saying I've been underwhelmed. Giants fans. Well,
the dirty little secret here for the Giants is that they ran Tom Coughlin out of town. So now this is all the cleanup, and it's like, whoa, they ran Tom Coughlin out of town. It's kind of crazy that that happened, but that's what they decided to do.
One of the great tragedies of this offseason is that Coughlin did not end up in Philly. That would have been amazing to watch.
And now he's going to be like 70 by the time the next offseason rolls around. Maybe he will be too old. Yeah, that's sad.
Maybe he'll be the Giants coach next year. His whole staff is there. He can take over. Kevin Gilbride Jr. is the tight ends coach.
And that's what's happening in the news. Yes, franchise tag. You can now hit your guys with it. Nobody in a rush to do it, at least at the beginning of the business day, in the opening day of the franchise period. Chris Wessling wrote up a piece on NFL.com. He called it the franchise tag primer. And you listed 12 guys, basically putting in order how likely to unlikely they will be getting tagged, prominent guys. And we'll start from the bottom of the list. I'm going to skip past the punters and the kickers, and that's not disrespectful, but they're not the lifeblood.
It is disrespectful.
They're not the
definition.
Lifeblood. Are they the lifeblood?
No, they're not.
Who would be the lifeblood?
Well, I didn't know this until today, but now I know that quarterbacks are the lifeblood of the NFL.
But Wes is a collection of kickers and punters. Here's a tease. Go over to NFL.com and check out who Wes put as the kickers and punters. But we'll start with number 12 on your list, Russell Okung, the Seahawks tackle, former first-round pick. You put him as unlikely, and he's the only one that's unlikely. I'm just curious why, Wes.
Well, he had a major injury. He's supposed to be out for at least 5 months recovering from surgery. I don't know if a team's going to use a franchise tag on someone like that, as desperate as the Seahawks are on their offensive line.
Under the questionable list, two names, one that I could pronounce and one I will defer to Greg Rosenthal. Reggie Nelson, the Bengals safety at number 11, listed as questionable. And then a Ravens guard, Greg, by the name of?
Kelechi Osemele.
Thank you. Questionable. Chris Wessling.
Reggie Nelson makes a little bit of sense because the Bengals always have plenty of cap room. And Nelson is, I think he's going on age 33, coming off his best season. So in that sense, it makes sense just to go 1 year with him. And Osemele is one of the best guards in the NFL and also showed late last season he can play left tackle. The only problem is you have to franchise him at the tackle rate, $13.5 million.
Why do they do that?
Everything on offensive line falls under the offensive line umbrella.
It just seems that they're completely different positions, that the NFL would be ahead of that the way they're paid.
They used to be separate, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think this is relatively new.
I don't know why they combined it. Although, big-name guards, I mean, if he made it to the open market.
He'll get paid.
He'll get $12 or $13 million a year. He'll get it at pretty much at that rate. So I don't think it's that crazy. I mean, that's just how free agency is going to be this year with all this cap room.
Wes, your next category was voting yes.
In all honesty, I took these categories from Greg Rosenthal. I stepped on his toes this year by doing this article.
You could have made a new, headline. I don't know if I used voting yes every single year. I think
this has long been a Greg post, though.
Yeah, I stepped on his toes when he was out of the office.
Would this be false hustle?
A shadowy league figure asked me to do this.
No, it was smart thinking by everyone involved because they moved up the free agency timeline this year. There's less time until free agency starts. Franchise tags start today. Usually it would have been next week.
Did it sting, though, when you saw it up advertised to someone else's
page? I really did see it. I wouldn't say it stung. But I was like, oh, why did they do that? And I was
that's my corner.
I was like,
it's my toy.
They should have at least let me know. But then I saw that the whole timeline had changed, and I thought, that's good thinking. Would have been too late.
All right, so these are the ones Wes thinks it will happen. Ollie Vernon, the Dolphins defensive end.
Ollie.
Yeah, I'm breaking it out. I'm going to get this thing going.
All right, I'm on board.
Eric Berry, the Chiefs safety. Doug Martin, Bucks running back. Cordy Glenn, Bills offensive tackle. And Big Mo Wilkerson of the Jets. Wes, which one of these guys on this group that I just named off would not surprise you if they somehow did not get the tag? I know you said it will happen, but it could where it doesn't work.
It's tricky to do this because a lot of these guys, it's like either the franchise tag or a long-term deal
right.
Before free agency. I think Doug Martin is a guy everybody's talking about now who might want to test his value on the open market. It's clear he wants to get paid like a top running back. And it's not clear yet if the Buccaneers think of him that same way. So I think he would jump out. And Ollie Vernon as well. The Dolphins have cap issues. So I don't know if they want to go franchise tag with him.
I would not vote yes with those two.
Would you be a little spooked if you were, with Doug Martin? I know he had an amazing first year, muscle hamster, great last season. The 2 years in between, not so great at all. To bank on him being, you know, one guy and not the other, I'd be a little nervous to give him good money.
I mean, like we talked about before the show, though, the thing is, you've got Dirk Cutter as the head coach, and he is really the main proponent of Doug Martin all last offseason. When Martin probably was a good bet to land on a different team last year had he not been, you know, rallied around by the coach who's now the head guy. So I think they keep him around.
He's the perfect guy for a franchise tag because you don't want to go multi-years with him. You want to say, all right, can you repeat last year?
Well, I guess
that's what I thought until then. I even said it in a now hit. It does make sense. Running back more than anything, one-year contracts are awesome. But $11.5 million for Doug Martin, it's tricky. I think they'll find a long-term deal for him. I don't think they'll franchise tag him. And I don't think they're going to franchise tag Olivier Vernon because your boy,
Ollie,
Derek Shelby, is a free agent as well. And you got Ndamukong Suh taking up a lot of money. I think
Ernest's going to get – he's going to break the bank if he makes
– I just don't think they can afford to add another guy at that number, and I think they'll let him
go. If you're the Bucks, though, you have your quarterback under an affordable contract long-term, and it is a one-year – you're paying maybe too much for a running back, but it's a one-year thing. And he's like, if you take Doug Martin out of that offense, what happens to the running game?
What's his value though? If he's going to be like a $12 million player, you know what I mean? It's like you got to get the
for 1 year though.
It's cap. The cap.
That's what I'm saying.
Through the roof.
It's a running back. You go year to year with him.
That's why I don't think he'll get the tag because I think they'd love to sign him long term. But what's his long term deal right now? 2 years, $16 million, and most of it's guaranteed, something like that. So you know that's a lot for a running back. But I think they would do that. But if you're doing that, you can't pay him 11 in the first. You know, I don't know.
Just pay him 11 now. That's a no-brainer to me. Why? You've got plenty of cap room if you're the Buccaneers. Why not just throw $11 million at your running back? What else are you going to do with the money?
It disappears quick, though, cap.
Yeah, but where else are you? You're going to go over do what the Raiders do and go overpay for a bunch of mediocre free agents? I don't know. Just spend your money. You need to.
Finally, the no-brainers, as Wes puts it, these are guys that will be tagged if they don't get long-term deals. Von Miller, number one. Kirk Cousins, number two. Josh Norman, number three. And Alshon Jeffrey, number four. Makes sense to me.
Alshon Jeffrey's the only guy in that list that it seems like people in Chicago aren't totally convinced that he's going to get the tag. For instance, in Tampa, they don't think Martin's going to get the tag. You would think that Jeffrey would get it. Why wouldn't he?
He's a difference maker when he's healthy. And I think the question with him has always been, do you trust him to stay in peak physical shape? He's had in college and the NFL several seasons where he's had issues. And last year with the hamstring injuries, that was an issue. But I think when he's healthy, he's one of the top 10 receivers in the NFL.
Well, I mean, Ryan Pace, the GM, did say we are going to factor in his durability. But if you don't have Jeffrey, you've lost Brandon Marshall the year before, and now you're hoping that Kevin White comes back out of nowhere.
Losing Matt Forte this year too.
Right. So I think you've got to just to sustain your offense, you've got to keep Jeffrey around.
Maybe the Marshall move was the right move because they didn't really like him as a personality in the locker room. But you know, he went out and had 115 catches last year. Jeffrey, if he's healthy and goes to a team that can move the ball on offense, he's going to have a monster year too. You can't just let these studs out the door.
It's like
for
you're
nothing.
The mid-90s Montreal Expos.
These franchises.
Ooh, nicely
sizzler.
Done.
I like that.
Wow.
having to get rid of Pedro, Vlad Guerrero.
Tough John times. Wetland.
Marquise.
How about learn some lessons from
DeShields.
North of the border?
Pedro Martinez, yeah.
If Jonah Carey's listening to this podcast, he's just completely enamored by you right now.
Don't even know who that is.
I was just thinking how big of a boondoggle the franchise tag is.
Boondoggle.
For the NFL. How lucky are NFL teams that back in the day they thought of the franchise tag? Because it is preventing Alshon Jeffrey from making so much money. He would get $50 million guaranteed, maybe 45, 50. He would get like a Dez Bryant-type $80 million contract. And yet he's prevented from doing that.
I like this conversation. It has nothing to do with luck. It has to do with the fact that the owners drove a hard bargain.
Yeah, that's
and true. Unlike other sports like baseball, where the product on the field suffers because the union is way too strong, the NFL has never gone that way. And fans get rewarded for that because the owners have driven a hard bargain.
You guys are making me nervous, though, about the next collective bargaining agreement.
Oh,
one day,
it's going to be a disaster.
One day – the players and the union's going to put their freaking foot down.
No, they're not, because the NFL owners have handled this all along since the beginning of the NFL as a league issue as opposed to baseball, where the owners have screwed each other over the years and in turn screwed the players so hard that vengeance had to come.
Yeah, but you're missing the point that these NFL players are looking around the professional sports grid and seeing how much more a middle reliever in baseball is getting paid than the best wide receiver.
You have to pay 53 NFL players and only 25 baseball players.
You know what you do to that football player? You transition tag him.
Well, this is why you're right, I think, Dan, that when it comes up again, it's going to be a problem. If nothing else, because the players have been now told for year upon year that they did a bad job last
year. They got killed in the last CBA.
Doesn't matter.
When does this one end?
The union's not strong.
Not for a while.
Couple of years we got.
No, we've got a number of more years.
Yeah.
Finally, before
10 years,
it was signed.
Not from today.
It was
from 2011.
10 years and 11, so we got till 21. We're good.
Our children will be covering the NFL at that point.
None of us will be here. Finally, you know
Mike's gonna die in a car accident.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You know my feelings about the quarterback position. So let's talk about it a little bit before we go. Some quarterbacks kind of on the bubble, if you will, with their current rosters, or not necessarily because of their play, but their contract situation. So let's play a little game called QB, stay or go.
I like it.
Okay, and we'll start with Mark Sessler, who he wants to double down and talk a little bit more Brock Osweiler.
Well, you know, we kind of stepped on that a bit, but there's not –
we don't have to talk about it.
There's not a whole lot more to say. The thing that's interesting to me is if another team would come out of the woodwork, if another team's thought enough of him – and it's weird that the Browns got
mentioned. You're doing, like, political talking points.
I'm doing, like, Bill Clinton finger to West. But, like, you know, a lot of times when coaches see a guy up front live and you lose to him, like the Bengals lost to Osweiler, that sometimes the coaches on that side of the ball, like, think higher of these players. And it's interesting that now Cleveland's getting linked to Osweiler, because the only thing for a team that constantly has to draft high, it could fill in a blank, bad team without a quarterback. You've got to swing and miss on a top 10 pick on a quarterback that could be nothing 2 years from now, that you could go get someone like Brock Osweiler, whose work ethic is cemented in. You know that he's been
but
taught
who cares
well
about his work ethic.
Well,
and
if you've been dealing with Johnny Manziel for
years,
you do.
But I'm saying, like, just I know that as a Browns fan and as a Jets fan, I can relate. You just got to hit on a quarterback in the draft and have somebody from day one in your building that you get a good value for 4 or 5 years, and then you can have a guy you can build a franchise around. Brock Osweiler, if they went after Brock Osweiler, that would feel to me like a safe move. Like,
let's
bring in this guy that John Elway may be polished up. We weren't in that building. We don't even know for sure, but maybe he'll be okay. Whereas if you believe in your personnel department and Sashi,
it's a lot of things, but it's not safe. There's no way that is safe.
Sashi.
That is.
Well, I think you're saying you're not swinging for the fences the same way you would with a draft pick.
Like, Mark talking pointed me.
No. I think
you've been watching too many debates.
I haven't watched a second.
Nice caucus.
But if you then can go spend your top 5, top 10 pick on a different position, you finally are starting to get stronger. Other than one area of the field over and over and over. And I think that Osweiler, for another team to come calling, would be interesting. That's what I want to see.
Malik Jackson, who's going to be ranked very high in our top 99 free agents list that comes out next week.
Isn't it top 98 plus Michael Vick?
It's like 101.
It was usually 101.
Vick is 101 on this list.
Plus Michael Vick.
Yeah, 101.
Or Kenny Britt.
He said Osweiler is proven. And in that he's underrated and undervalued.
I would say
if he's not proven to the Broncos after 4 years, then that's a strong statement. You should know all you need to know about him to sign him to a deal.
Wes, who do you want to talk about?
I want to talk about the Eagles situation. 11 months ago when they traded for Sam Bradford, all we heard about was this guy was the perfect spread quarterback at Oklahoma. He's perfect for Chip Kelly's spread offense. Now he's going to be in a West Coast offense, which does not suit his game as well. Why pay him $20 million a year or whatever it takes? A guy who is Sam Bradford, since he's been in the NFL, nobody has had more excuses made for him than Sam Bradford. He's the biggest tease in the league. Why pay him? Bring in Chase Daniel, who has been, from preseason to week 17 to fill-in appearances, one of the most productive backup quarterbacks in the league, is steeped in Doug Peterson's offense from being in Kansas City with him. Why not bring him in as a patch to your next quarterback?
I think he might be going. I know the logic is all these quarterbacks stay put, but I think he's got to be, like any of these guys, should be smelling that free agency money. And when you get close, and he's not, I don't think he's going to get tagged. I don't think anyone
I don't think
thinks
so
he's going to get tagged. Why not get to free agency at this point if you're Sam Bradford or you're whatever? Then you're negotiating with any team that wants you instead of just the Eagles. And I don't know, maybe you find a better situation.
But maybe they look at – I'm not saying that Sam Bradford at any point last year was a heat-seeking watch, but he improved over the end of the season. He came together a little bit. Maybe they feel like there's a reason for continuity.
I've heard this with Sam Bradford for his entire career. Well, if you look at his last five games.
Well, I hear you. Listen, I would say you could argue that Sam Bradford has been the most overpaid NFL quarterback of our generation. I mean, the rookie deal that he signed and did not deliver on is unbelievable.
I mean, I would say Jamarcus Russell or some guys that did nothing. Kevin Cobb, Matt Flynn.
Akili Smith.
Yeah, I mean, Cobb is mixed.
The reason why Sam Bradford, if he does make it to free agency, will get paid is that he is still the 20th best starter in the league or whatever it is, which is an upgrade for teams like the Browns.
But it's not an upgrade for
the
Eagles.
The Browns are a team that I think would absolutely be interested in.
Oh, God, I hope not.
They try to trade for him every year.
Exactly. Yeah, with not this regime, but you're right. But if you're the Eagles, then you've got to go replace the 20th best starter with what? That's why I think they may stick with him.
Greg, on June 28th, 2013, number 35 on our Making the Leap list, Chiefs quarterback Chase Daniel. So maybe it's all coming around.
I have been years ahead on the Chase Daniel.
Literally almost 3 years ahead.
It was a little bit of a, if you read it, it was a little bit of a bit almost.
Kind of a bit.
We were having fun. But you know what? He's come in when he's played in the preseason. He's looked great. When he's played in the regular season, he's looked good. You know what? When you're behind a Hall of Famer like Alex Smith, you're just not going to get a chance.
I'm going to pull a line from your copy. Daniel might not be another Drew Brees, but it's not so crazy to imagine him as another Ryan Fitzpatrick. So you even foresaw the 30 touchdowns
Crickets.
With the Jets.
No, that's a good line.
Well,
why he's our mentor.
The coaching link makes sense.
I'm just saying he could be a replacement level starter.
That's
which
what I'm
I still
speak
believe.
Which is
yourself,
what Sam Bradford is.
Right.
Wes, speak for yourself. Greg is just my boss, nothing more than us.
Certainly not a friend to you.
Certainly not.
I didn't say you weren't a friend.
It's been laid bare.
If I said that, I didn't mean that you weren't a friend. But
why are we back here?
Different levels of support and friendship.
He thinks he's your friend. He just doesn't think you're his friend.
I felt blindsided by that comment. I think it's pretty clear.
Area host surprised when fellow podcast member that he blasted for 10 minutes in different bits comes back at him.
Longest headline ever.
Keep my name out of your mouth.
It hurt, Greg. That's all. I will bring up Brian Hoyer. And I will bring up Brian Hoyer because he authored one of the worst performances in the history of the NFL playoffs in January through four interceptions, lost a fumble. The Texans got beat 30-0 in their building.
In the same breath with Ryan Lindley.
Yeah, it doesn't get much more grim than being mentioned with Ryan Lindley in terms of quarterback performances. And what makes his situation interesting, he's under contract for next year with the Texans. But Bob McNair, the owner of the Texans,
Bobby Mick,
came out and basically put the entire front office and coaching staff on the old hot butt seat by saying, I need a franchise quarterback. So the owner has now stepped in and basically said, Brian Hoyer is not the answer. Go get somebody else. Problem is, you know, they won the AFC South. I think they have the 22nd pick. It's not, as we know, because we're talking about guys like Brock Osweiler and Sam Bradford getting a lot of money. There's not a great free agency class at quarterback. So it's like, what do the Texans do to make their owner happy? I would think that Hoyer stays, but at the same time, I don't know if that means he's staying as a starting quarterback. They got to figure something out because the owner ain't happy.
What if Bob McNair brings in Bob Griffin?
Ooh.
Or Sam Bradford?
I'm surprised by the level of interest or excitement that RG3 is already inspiring. LaKeisha on her news desk, she's a big Rams fan. I don't know if this is representative of all Rams fans, but she was like, yeah, sign me up for RG3. Give it a shot. That sounds exciting.
Well, you can't blame her with what she's been watching at quarterback.
I don't know.
Plus,
I would do it.
It would kind of complete the Redskins banging in a way, in the sense that, not only did you get all the draft picks and all that glory from that trade in 2012, now you got the player as well.
That would be
interesting. If he ever became anything close to the old RG3, you know, they would never, ever fire Jeff Fisher, number one. He would live forever, and Les Snead's hair would turn an even greater golden shade of yellow.
If you can pair RG3 with an offensive mind like Jeff Fisher, I mean, you just sit back and you just crack a beer and you watch.
Welcome to L.A.
I do think there's – I don't know. I've ripped on RG3 quite a bit the last couple of years because he had never developed into a real NFL quarterback, but – when you watch his rookie tape, it's not hard to convince yourself that a good coach or a creative coach can do something with him.
You're up, Greg.
Same thing when you look at Colin Kaepernick. It's crazy to think how far he's fallen. It wasn't quite as dramatic as RG3, but it was close. I mean, the last year and a half of tape that he's put up is pretty bad, and yet, I don't know, the tools are there. You would think the right coach should be Chip Kelly. And so if we're talking about stay or go, I think he'd stay in San Francisco because I think Chip Kelly was hired in part on a sell job that he could turn around Colin Kaepernick's career, that you don't need to find another quarterback necessarily. I could make these guys that are there, Kaepernick and Gabbert, look pretty good.
That's how I read it. I thought the Kelly hiring, and it was controversial to bring him back after the way it ended in Philly, but that they had what seemed like 3 or 4 years ago one of the top three young quarterbacks in the league, and it got to a point where he's being benched for Blaine Gabbert. I think they're probably, you know, in the top of that front office, people that still think maybe Kaepernick can get back. He's not even 30 years old. So bring in the genius and see if he could fix him.
Well, the flip side is you're the Niners, and you haven't had a lot of top 10 picks. You've got a number 7 pick. Chip Kelly, for the first time in his career, could use the draft to pick the quarterback he wants. That said, if the Kaepernick and Kelly thing don't match, what quarterback does match with Chip Kelly? Like, if he decides, this guy's not for me, then I'm baffled at this point what a Chip Kelly quarterback is, because you're giving up on everything you say you didn't have in Philadelphia post-healthy Michael Vick.
I'm still waiting for Kaepernick to stay and for Blaine Gabbert to beat him out.
Mm. Well, Kelly praised Gabbert quite a bit. I mean,
Gabbert is exceptionally athletic.
Well, maybe he'll end up as the starting quarterback for the Jets under general manager Manish Mehta, bringing him to New York.
Manish flying that Kaepernick to Jets flag very hard, but I haven't heard anything else connecting the Jets to Kaepernick. I think the Niners keep him. But we'll see. Wes, all in on Blaine Gabbert, too.
I'm not all in. I just, you know, Greg said Kaepernick has all the tools. I don't think he has accuracy or touch.
It's fair. He definitely does not have touch.
That's a pretty important tool for an NFL quarterback.
I got to go watch some of those last the 49ers kind of fell off the radar there, but Gabbert's last few weeks, I think if those were his first few weeks, people would not have been as excited.
That's fair.
About him.
So there you have it. Another episode of the Around the NFL podcast is in the books. We will be back on Thursday, correct?
It depends if Greg gets through the Niners tape by then. He's got a lot to watch.
That's true.
Or through the freeway traffic.
Thursday.
Or if he has another podcast to do.
Yeah, I might have a few others. Now I'm in talks with the R&B podcast. R&B and G.
All right, since I'll be more supportive.
It is Thursday. And then next week, by the way, we have a Monday show. And then we're all going to Indianapolis. And we're going to tape a nice video show from the NFL Scouting Combine next Thursday.
Fun.
So our listeners hopefully will like that.
And Greg, now this stage is for your other podcast. Do you think in your mind we'll be back? I know you did the final episode.
You don't have to do this. This is silly. You know, this is
very
silly.
Important. It's very important to be supportive of
this
each other.
This is silly.
So will the RJVP be back?
I don't know. I hope it's back in some form. Oh, who knows? The NFL.
Some
That's
form.
Up to the
very
NFL.
Mysterious.
Jeselnik wants to get paid.
He has not been, you know, secret about his unhappiness.
Just tell the NFL to take it out of my pittance that I get on
a bi-weekly basis. See what the NFL likes to do, wants to do.
What if you gave Wes's salary to Jeselnik? Would that do it? Seriously.
I think someone already gave it to someone else.
Yeah, I think that would be more than enough. Yeah, I think that would be more than enough for one show a week. That would be pretty easy money.
It's It's amazing how supportive I am of your other show, Greg. all right, that's it. This is Dan Hansis signing off for Quiet Storm, the mailman, the boss, and La Cid behind the glass. Till Thursday.
What's up, everybody? DJ here from Move the Sticks. Along with Bucky Brooks, our podcast, we look at the NFL through a player personnel perspective, looking at teams, looking at matchups, looking at the NFL draft. You can catch us on Move the Sticks, NFL.com/podcast, as well as iTunes.